Welcome to this Friday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, again filling in once again for regular host Mark King. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. You can follow Mark at King underscore producer. You can follow myself, Sean Coleman, at Stats, SAC. And for any information on the podcast, you can also check out LockedOnGrizzlies.com. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the upcoming schedule for the Grizzlies, see how they're ending 2018, kind of take a look at the beginning of 2019. Each game is becoming more critical, with only a few games separating the teams right now currently with home court advantage in the playoffs, and those teams that are currently out, just a few games separating several different positions in the Western Conference. And in the third segment, we'll take a look at this weekend's matchup, so tonight's game against the Miami Heat, and then tomorrow's game against the Houston Rockets. So an action-packed show today. But before we get to the specific games and to the schedule, I really want to focus on Saturday. If you listened to yesterday's episode, me and Jack Noonan, another contributor over at Grizzly Bear Blues, we both admitted that we are big-time Tennessee Vols fans, and I am a huge one. I'm a diehard Tennessee Vols fan, as I am for the Grizzlies, and I will certainly be cheering for the Vols on Saturday. But also in perspective for me is the city of Memphis on Saturday, and I will be cheering for them. And what I mean by that is this, is that there's been a lot of material that's been written this week about the game between the Tennessee Volunteers and Memphis Tigers a decade ago, back when they were 1-2 and Tennessee beat Memphis 66-62. The reason I focus on that is because of the magnitude that that game was. It reached a scale of importance for the state of Tennessee and the city of Memphis that likely it may never reach again, and certainly had never reached before that time. That college basketball game is still the most watched game in ESPN history. And it's not the game itself that I remember or that stands out to me. It's the fact that the city of Memphis was featured. This is a city that thrives on sports. Peter Edmonston, the former host of this podcast, showed a picture yesterday. He uploaded a picture to Twitter, and it showed of all the U.S. markets that watched, I believe it was the English Premier League, it was a soccer game, Memphis was second. This truly is a city that loves sports, and they keep up with it beyond the city, just Memphis itself. They keep up with everything that goes around. There obviously was the incredible story of the young lady who had the connection with LeBron when the Lakers were here this past Saturday. I pinpoint this because this Saturday really could be one of those staple or very memorable moments in the beginning of a new era for Memphis sports. Obviously, back a decade ago, the Tennessee-Memphis game, that was the peak of the Memphis Tigers era during Calipari's time here. Obviously, they went to the national championship game that year. That also was a time when the Grizzlies themselves were formulating their rosters that would lead to the grit and grind era. It was a memorable time. It was a memorable staple in the beginning of a successful run for the Grizzlies. Obviously, the Tigers did not have that same success. But both the Tigers and the Grizzlies have experienced some downtrodden times over the past 12 to 18 months. Obviously, the Grizzlies' turmoil last year, the Tigers basically hitting rock bottom with Tubby. But over the past 12 months, both teams have done a really good job of capturing positivity, coming out of nowhere with great hype, with great moves, and just with great emphasis on wanting to achieve success for the city of Memphis. And for the first time, both teams at the same time have a positive outlook going forward. Obviously, Penny Hardaway and the incredible job that most think he will do here with Memphis. And for the Grizzlies, really the opportunity to embrace the youth that is on this roster. Beyond the success of this year, there's a future that is hopefully surrounded around Jaren Jackson Jr. and the emphasis that is going to be placed on his success and his potential being something that the city of Memphis has never seen before, potentially. So that's why my focus is on Saturday. It's the opportunity for Memphis to regain what it craves the most, and that is sports success. This city is at its best when its basketball teams are successful. People ask me a lot, you know, what's my favorite sports experiences? And beyond the teams that I actually cheer for, two of the most memorable experiences have been when the Grizzlies clinched their playoff series here at the FedEx Forum. That obviously was against the Spurs back in the 2011 season, and then a few years ago against the Clippers. And the thing that I remember most about those games, yeah, the action on the court was awesome. The ejection of Chris Paul was a wonderful icing on the cake against the Clippers. But what I remember most is the atmosphere that was in the Forum. I tell people all the time, if it's a big game for the Grizzlies, I would much rather sit up high than close to the court, because I want to experience the joy of the crowd and the success on the court versus just one of those things. And that's why I love the city of Memphis. The passion, the excitement, just the overall experience of being out and about. I don't have to know the people. They could be complete strangers. If I'm with friends, that's a great thing. But overall, it's just the abundance of passion that is here for this city's teams to be successful. Another example is just this past Friday, I was out with some coworkers, and while talking with them, I heard a noise in the background that I wasn't used to hearing, or that it had been a long time coming since I had last heard it. And that was a group of people in a local eating establishment who were cheering the Grizzlies on a Friday night against the Pelicans. You would have not seen that last year. Like I told Jack yesterday, last year people were trying to come up with as many different tank commander comparisons for the Grizzlies as they could. But this year, they're back to cheering. They're back to being excited. There's anticipation that finally each avenue of basketball, which this city loves more than any other in the nation, their two most important basketball entities may finally be successful at the same time. So my call to the city of Memphis is to embrace it, is to enjoy it. Don't get frustrated with the obvious, you know, with the obvious roadblocks that are going to be in the way. If Tennessee comes in on Saturday and they handle Memphis pretty easily, which some expect, that's fine. You're back on this stage. You're back on the fact that the nation will be watching on Saturday, and they'll be enjoying it along with you. Memphis not only wants for its teams to be successful, but to be honest with you, basketball is at its best when the city of Memphis is successful. There are people outside the city who recognize just how much the city of Memphis loves the sport of basketball. And if their teams can be successful, then there's a lot more positive that's in the basketball world than that when that's not the case. So that's why I put the focus on Saturday. That's why I think that it's a big staple game. And regardless of the outcome for the Tigers, regardless of the outcome for the Grizzlies, in the overall scheme of things, I think it really has the potential to be a big landmark when people look back 20, 30 years from now, and they look back at the successful runs that hopefully both the Tigers and Grizzlies will have, and they'll say this Saturday was the beginning of a very successful time for Memphis sports, which is exactly what the city needs. We'll be right back here in a second to talk about the Grizzlies' upcoming schedule. Thanks for joining us. So 28 games into the season, the Grizzlies currently stand at 16-12. Christmas time every NBA season is really the point in time where teams truly get a grip. They come to reality on what their chances are in that particular year, what the likely outcome of their year is going to be. And at that point, they start taking stock. They start really looking into how to make the most of their year, whether it be gearing up for a playoff run, potentially making moves to get future assets, whatever it may be. Christmas time is really where you start to focus on, or where you really come into focus on the true potential of your team for that year. And for the Grizzlies, they've got an idea. They truly have an understanding of what their strengths are as the team. They're coming to understand the roles that each of their players play, and they also know their strengths. They know what has got them there to be an unexpected playoff contender, and at this point on, they need to do all that they can to maximize their strengths and minimize their weaknesses. Looking at the Western Conference overall, the current standings lineup is this. At the top of the Western Conference, you have the Nuggets and the Warriors, followed by the Thunder. The Nuggets and Warriors are tied, while the Thunder are a half a game behind in third place. The key thing, the really, really, I guess, fantastic but also chaotic thing, is that only three games separate the Thunder and the Trailblazers. That separates the third spot in the West from the ninth spot in the West. In other words, there are 3.5 games that separate you from being at the top of the Western Conference to being out of the playoffs. That's why you really can't afford, none of these teams can afford a 3 or 4 game stretch where you go 1-3, 0-4, 1-4, so on and so forth. Each game becomes more critical in terms of being able to position yourself to win it, especially when you're facing other playoff teams. Because that's a key thing to remember. Whenever the Grizzlies play a playoff team, if the Grizzlies win and that other team loses, that's a 2-game swing, either in the Grizzlies' favor or, if vice versa, in the other playoff team's favor. So you really need to do what you can in terms of your preparation for the rest of the season to give yourself the best chance to win against playoff teams. So looking at the Grizzlies' schedule coming up over the next month, obviously the Heat tonight, the Rockets tomorrow, and beginning with that Rockets game, a really pivotal stretch of the Grizzlies' season occurs. Division opponent tomorrow, and then they travel out west to face the Warriors on the 17th of December. They'll face the Trailblazers on the 19th. They'll go to Sacramento on the 21st. They'll go to LA to face the Lakers again on the 23rd. And then the night after Christmas, they'll come back home. After Christmas, they go through a stretch where they play several teams from the Eastern Conference. So the Cavaliers will come into town on December the 26th. The Celtics will come into town on the 29th. The Rockets will come into we will go to Houston on the 31st. So ending the season with the Celtics and the Rockets on the 29th and 31st. And then to begin the new year, we'll have the Pistons come to Memphis. We'll also have the Nets come to Memphis. And then following that game on January 4th comes another real key stretch where in 5 games between January 5th and January 14th, we will play 4 games against division opponents. On the 5th, the Grizzlies will be in San Antonio. The 7th will be in New Orleans. The 9th, San Antonio comes to Memphis. The 12th, the Grizzlies will play the Heat in Miami. And then, of course, the 14th, we'll play the Rockets. So what does this all mean? Why through the next month is it such a pivotal time to the Grizzlies' playoff aspirations? A time when they've got to make astute moves, they've got to make shrewd roster decisions to be able to position themselves for the best chance at the playoffs. Well, the takeaways that I have from it are this. In my opinion, 2 of the most critical stretches of this season occur over the next month. And that is the Western Conference road trip, where we face the Warriors, the Trailblazers, the Kings, and the Lakers between December 17th and December 23rd. And then the 5-game stretch between January 5th and January 14th, in which we play 4 division opponents in 5 days. Here's why those are critical. Anytime the Grizzlies go on a Western Conference road trip, it's one of the toughest stretches of the schedule, just simply because it's a lot of travel. Well, in this one in particular, we're facing 3 fellow playoff teams, and we're also facing the Kings, who we know give us a hard time each game and still have playoff aspirations of their own. Those opportunities are there for the taking for us to truly make a big step towards cementing ourselves in the thick of the playoff hunt. And if we can do that, that will allow for us to eventually have an easier time navigating the easier games. If for some reason we struggle, as I mentioned earlier, going 1-3, going 1-4 through the stretch, then you start to get into a cluster, not to position yourself in the playoffs, but to just make the playoffs. And that becomes even more difficult as the season goes along. Not only was it the Western Conference stretch, but it was also that stretch between the 5th of January and the 14th, in which we play 4 division opponents. Tomorrow night, the Grizzlies will face the Rockets for the first time this year. They're so far 3-0 in the division, and if they can beat the Rockets tomorrow night, it'll be a big step forward. The easiest way for the Grizzlies to get into the playoffs is to be able to win their division. And if they can go 4-0 beating each of their division foes one time, that really helps out their chances of finishing in a strong position in the division. As I mentioned earlier this week, more than 80% of the playoff participants over the past 5 years had winning records in their division. If you can win the games that in which you play your most familiar teams, in which you play that we play 16 games against the Spurs, Pelicans, Mavericks, and Rockets each year. These are the teams we know the best. If we can have success against those teams, it's going to really, really help our playoff potential come April. So over the next month, the first takeaway I have is that two of the Grizzlies' most critical stretches, the Western Conference road trip for four games between now and Christmas, and then the five-game stretch in which we play four division opponents, the 5th through the 14th of January, if the Grizzlies can go 4-5 or 5-4 during those stretches combined, I think that that will be a huge boost to the playoff potential. I also think that it will give the Grizzlies confidence in knowing that they truly can compete against quality opponents. Another thing to look at is, at what point do you start really looking at trying to rest Mark and Mike? Listen, last night's win was great, but you're still 4-6 over your past 10 games, and you have a clear indication of what everybody thought. If Mark and Mike are not healthy or they're not playing effectively, this team does not play to its potential, and this team becomes, in my opinion, a non-playoff roster. And it's really hard to try to make a stretch for the playoffs when you don't have just clear playoff quality as a team. My opinion of that is this. You do need to get them rest. And I start to look at each game as, what are my chances to win? And so, for instance, on Monday the 17th against the Warriors, you probably have one of your lowest chances to win over the next month in that game. So in my opinion, that's a night to rest Mike and Mark. Yeah, a win over the Warriors would be great. But the thing about it is that the Grizzlies have had big wins this year, and then they'll go and they'll lose critical games to opponents they should beat. A lot of the reason why is because of fatigue. So if you could give Mark and Mike the rest during the Warriors game, that would really set them up to have three straight nights of rest before facing the Trailblazers, the Lakers, and the Kings the rest of the road trip. I think giving Mark and Mike rest against the Warriors, that gives you the best chance to go 500 on that road trip. And if you can do that, if you can go 503-1 through that Western Conference road trip, again, it'll make a huge difference as the season goes along, not only for your record, but also for keeping your two most critical players healthy. A big thing also about this stretch in terms of health is that we should start to get some depth back in terms of Dylan Brooks and in terms of Javon Carter. Dylan Brooks was on the broadcast last night with Brevin Knight and Pete Pranica, and he was talking about his health, and it seemed like that they were really looking towards the end of the year, before the end of the year, to get Dylan back. I think that stretch, I could target the Cavaliers or the Celtics games on the 26th or 29th of this month, maybe being a target game for Dylan to come back. And of course, his depth is very important to the Grizzlies because his presence comes to the position that needs to be addressed the most. Wing production has been our second biggest weakness behind rebounding this year. If Dylan Brooks can come back and play pivotal minutes, contributing on offense, not being a liability on defense, that's a huge, huge boost for the Grizzlies. Also, along with that, Javon Carter. I know he has a knee injury right now, but if he can come back and get healthy, that gives you three legitimate point guards on your roster. And as we see, more and more teams are relying on multiple point guard lineups. If Javon Carter can come in and be healthy, he can also have a role on this team that provides a big boost. And finally, in terms of looking at the Grizzlies season as a whole, this stretch, if over, say for instance, over the next nine games before the end of the year, the Grizzlies go 3-6, or they go 6-3. Going into the new year, you did have a perspective of where things are. If we go 3-6, front office management, yes, the playoffs are still definitely in focus. You still want to push for the playoffs, but do you push as hard? Do you potentially try, while you try to win, do you put your focus on maybe wanting to develop younger players, things such as that? Does it lessen your desire to make a really impactful move through the trade market? That type of mentality starts to set in place as you get into the new year. Whereas if you go 6-3, then you're really starting to focus on the league as a whole. You look at other teams who truly feel this year is not their year and who are buying out their veterans. You see maybe if you can bring one of those onto the team and add value like the Joakim Noah signing has. Or you may look to make a trade. You know, there's been a lot of talk here recently about potentially going after a wing who we could have for multiple years and really fill a needed role for us. Do you make the move to do that? Not only is it about if you make the move, it's also about when you make the move. I really think that for the Grizzlies, if they're going to make an impactful or significant addition to this roster for a playoff push this year, it's going to be right around the turn of the new year. When you get Javon and Dylan back, before that five-game stretch where you have four division opponents and five games between the 5th of January and the 14th of January, that week or so right in there, get Dylan and get Javon back. You face the Celtics, you face the Nets, you face the Pistons, you face the Rockets. Get an idea of how they'll contribute. And if you feel comfortable, okay, maybe at that point you do get a bought-out veteran. But if you feel like that you really need to make that move, I really would, if I were the Grizzlies, make the move before January 5th. If you're going to make a significant addition to this team, do it before January 5th, because then that will put your team in the best position to make a playoff run, because you both are making an impact on the division and against other playoff opponents. So really exciting time coming up for the Grizzlies. Very unexpected that they would be able to say this far into the season they're looking to have the mentality of making the playoffs. It just comes down to, will they play good enough through this Western Conference road trip, and will they finish out this calendar year strong enough to motivate this front office to make a move? Because if the Grizzlies front office is truly wanting to time it right for a roster upgrade, it's going to need to be right around New Year's. When Dylan Brooks and Javon Carter come back, there will be a roster crunch. Some folks may be available for trade. You may be able to use some assets to address the rebounding or wing production weaknesses that needs to be made now. It needs to be made in that time frame, because if you can make it around the new year, you get a jump start on the rest of the Western Conference where you could start collecting wins, and those one or two or three extra wins that roster upgrade can help out with will wind up being very, very valuable towards the end of the year. But also you make that move before, again, that four division game and five game stretch time frame between January 5th and January 14th. Those games are going to have more of a direct impact on the Grizzlies' playoff chances, because not only does it impact their avenue towards the playoff through the division, but you also are playing, other playoff contenders, and with each win against them, you just help your chances even more. So just a very, very exciting time coming up in the near future that's going to be worth paying a lot of attention to see how it impacts the Grizzlies' decision-making going into the new year. We'll be right back with you to preview the Heat and Rockets game over the weekend. So tomorrow night, the Grizzlies welcome the Miami Heat into the FedEx Forum. And before we even get into the actual matchup, the first thing that comes with that will make tomorrow night a bit special is that there were probably the last time Dwayne Wade will come to Memphis as an NBA player. You know, as mentioned earlier, Memphis to me is one of the few cities that truly appreciates the greats that are around the NBA. We obviously see it every time LeBron comes to town, but Dwayne Wade to me was always the answer to the question, what one player could you add to the Grizzlies to make them to the title contender, that can make them a title contender and fit their philosophy? And it was Dwayne Wade. He would be the offensive go-to. He would be the go-to guy on offense. He would have fit our need as a wing or scoring guard. His mentality and toughness would have fit grit and grind perfectly. I've always had a high respect for Dwayne Wade, and I know he'll probably never hear this, but just want to thank him for the way that he's played the game and just congratulate him on just a wonderful Hall of Fame career. So I'm sure Memphis tomorrow night has a big reception for him, as should be in place, and the fans in attendance will definitely be able to share a special moment with one of the all-time greats. The Heat come into tomorrow night 11-16. They just simply are a roster that, while not one of the worst in the league, they're definitely below average in terms of talent when compared to the league as a whole. While they're 5-5 over their past 10 games, this is a team that truly is full of players who, while talented, you don't have really any superstars that are on this roster. You have a lot of good players who play within the system. And while they do play good as a team, overall, I think the Grizzlies tomorrow have the talent advantage and thus should have a good chance to win. The Heat come into the game 22nd in the league in points scored, while 10th in points allowed. And this team, the clear star of this team, if you want to call him that, is Hassan Whiteside. Again, having another Whiteside is having another outstanding year. 13.5 points, 13.7 rebounds, 2.9 blocks. He leads the league in defensive rating. He's at top of the league, or towards the top of the league in blocks and rebounds. I call him Bizarro DJ because if you look at his game, it's very reminiscent of DeAndre Jordan back in the heyday of the Grizzlies-Clippers rivalry from a few years ago. And just that down low presence, there's not a lot of jump shooting skill and things like that. There's just a athletic mass there that can be there for lobs, that can get rebounds, and that can block. I call him Bizarro DJ because definitely there's a lot more attitude at times with Hassan than there was with DeAndre Jordan. But overall, it's the same type of style. And so, in my opinion, the big key for the Grizzlies tomorrow is ball movement, execution, being able to have their players move without the ball. Because if they can get good high percentage shots away from the basket, that takes away the impact that Hassan Whiteside can have on our offensive opportunities close to the basket. Either Mark or Jaren are going to have a difficult time tomorrow. It's just simply the truth. And if we can wind up making good shots, if we can have good shot selection from the mid-range and from three-point land, I really think that's going to put us in the best position to win. Beyond Whiteside, Josh Richardson is having another very productive season. The Heat will be without Goran Dragic, who right now is injured. Justice Winslow, while he hasn't met his potential at the lottery pick that many of these that many experts thought, he still is a big-time contributor to the Heat's success. So tomorrow night, the Grizzlies will simply be facing a good defensive team, but they should be able to have a chance to win simply by being able to execute better. I feel the Grizzlies have the better veteran base in terms of the two teams, and I also feel like that they're going to have better execution in terms of an offensive game plan. So executing an offensive game plan, staying away from Whiteside while you have the ball, limiting Whiteside's ability to get offensive rebounds, because again, the Heat are eighth in the league, another very strong rebounding team. If you can do all these things, plus win the turnover battle, you get the extra possessions that you need to be able to put the Heat away, I feel, as the game goes along. Shifting the focus to Saturday, the Houston Rockets come into town with a record of 12-14. Obviously, the Rockets have probably been the biggest disappointment in the NBA this season in terms of expectations. Obviously, the first of the year was them flirting with the opportunity to get Jimmy Butler. Adding him to this team would have been wonderful. There was the obvious debacle with Carmelo Anthony. Not sure where he is. Not sure what other team that he right now is ruining because of his mentality. But overall, very disappointing season for the Rockets. And the reason why is because they're just simply playing uncharacteristic basketball. They're 29th in the league in points scored this year, but they still are shooting three-pointers at a historic rate. They're second in the league in three-point shots. The thing is, though, is that they just do not take smart shots. This team is 25th in the league in three-point percentage, but they're third in the league in two-point percentage. So it seems like that the makeup of this team this year is shot selection. While they're putting up threes at a rate that they always have done under Mike D'Antoni, they're simply not getting as good of a looks, and it doesn't seem like they're doing their best to penetrate to get the better shots. Obviously, in general, though, when a team has James Harden and Clint Capella, Chris Paul on the floor, you're going to have to make sure that your game is being played the best that it can. The Rockets simply come into this game, again, kind of a 180 from last year. Obviously, they were setting offensive records. Truly one of the best offensive teams over the past few years was the last year's Houston Rockets. But this year, as mentioned, 29th in the league in scoring, but they're 7th in the league in terms of opponent scoring. So it's a team this year that really has hunkered down on defense, but just has not found its groove offensively. If the Grizzlies are going to be able to pull off the victory, I think that they're going to have to do what they did against the Portland Trailblazers Wednesday night. Harden is going to do his stuff. Just like McCollum did against us, let Harden, if he wants to try to take over the game, let him try to take over the game. Contain him a little bit, but put your focus on the other players. The Grizzlies did a wonderful job of neutralizing Damian Lillard and neutralizing Jusuf Nurkic against the Trailblazers on Wednesday night. And that was the key reason why they were able to pull off the victory. against the Rockets, I would apply the same philosophy to Chris Paul and to Clint Capella. Yeah, you probably don't have as much of a scoring threat in those players, but you do still have productive players who can make a key difference when the Rockets, in my opinion, have the more talented roster. So if the focus could be let Harden do his stuff, but focus on limiting the production of the other complementary players, of the other two members of the Big Three of the Rockets, I think that gives you the best chance to win. Obviously, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, these are two players that last year playing in an exceptional level, gave the Rockets some depth, just have not been as productive this year. So overall, I think with the Rockets coming to town, yes, they're going to have the more talented roster. Yes, this is going to be one of those games where the Grizzlies are just facing one of the best players in the NBA. So you're going to let him get his. But if the Grizzlies can focus on preventing Clint Capella and the Rockets from getting offensive rebounds, if they can focus on isolating the production in Harden while limiting the production in Paul and Capella and Gordon, I think the Grizzlies do have a good chance to win. So between the two games, I give the Grizzlies probably about a 75% chance to beat the Heat. I'll put it at 50-50 for the Rockets game. I do think that the Rockets will come in motivated, especially with it being a division game. They'll come in motivated because, again, being a third through the season at 12-14, yeah, they may only be a few games out of a playoff spot, but the thing that's hurting them is how many teams they have to overcome to truly get where they want to be as potentially fighting for home court advantage in a playoff series later on this year. So two exciting matchups coming up. I do think that the Grizzlies probably will go 1-1 through these matchups. But tomorrow night, be there. Enjoy it. Also, tonight, be there to enjoy Dwayne Wade's final trip to Memphis and just see how the crowd welcomes him and just enjoy the spectacle of watching him play. It's been an absolute pleasure joining y'all this week. I thank Mark King for giving me the opportunity to take time to talk with y'all and do again what I feel is a dream come true. Again, hopefully in time, I'll be able to make another appearance. I always like talking with Mark about the Grizzlies. But again, just want to thank y'all for taking time out of your week to join me in discussing some Grizzlies basketball. To each of you, I wish you nothing but a wonderful Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, happy holiday season to you and your family. And again, my name is Sean Coleman. This will be my final sign-off for the week. Mark King will be back with you next week recapping the Rockets and Heat game. He'll also be talking a little bit about the Warriors game coming up Monday night. And who knows, if Memphis pulls off the upset, it's probably going to be a little bit of bragging as well. But again, thank y'all for y'all's time. Hope y'all have a wonderful holiday season. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.